My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ, money matters. Let's be honest, it does. We live in a culture, we live in a society that if you don't have at least some financial wealth and gain, you can't survive. Long past the days of bartering where you could bring what you made or bring what you grew and trade it for everything else that you need, we don't live in that society anymore. We found everything on currency. We need money to survive. It shouldn't surprise us that with how important money is, it becomes really the topic of grand debates. In fact, the number one thing that causes difficulty and strife in earthly relationships, particularly in married relationships, finances, money. It also shouldn't surprise us with how important and integral having earthly wealth is to survive, that the Bible talks about it a lot too. If you read in the introduction there to our service today, over 2,300 times the Bible talks about money and wealth. It matters. Because without it, we can't live our lives. Without it, we can't do the things that we want. And even more importantly, without it, we really can't effectively do the things we need. But how are we supposed to use it? The temptation is always there. The difficulty is always there. Because do we use the blessings that God has given to His glory and in His service, or instead, do we focus on the blessings for the sake of more blessing? So that we can gain and amass something here on earth. Really, what we're talking about is Satan putting that wealth in front of us to the point where it becomes what we serve. Not a tool to serve our true God. That's why Jesus talked about it more than once. In fact, in our gospel lesson, he tells a parable, talks exactly about this. Jesus wants to explain to all of us that money management matters. How are we going to use the blessings that God has given so that in the end, we find true blessings and happiness? You can imagine the people of Jesus' day struggled with this just like we do. I think we all realize that a big problem throughout our world is greed on every single level. I mean, greed can come from the top, but it's just as fervent in the person who has nothing. The desire to gain and possess more is always there. That's how Satan wants it. Satan started sin in this world by getting people to think that they were missing out on something. I mean, that's what he tells Adam and Eve, right? If you eat from this fruit, you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. In other words, he implies you don't have it all yet. There's something you're missing. You deserve to have more. So, here in this gospel lesson, as Jesus tells this parable, as he goes on to explain it, he talks about the pitfall that is there. In fact, he talks about mammon. You heard that word before? Mammon? We're not probably as familiar with it. I think it was back in the old King James version of the Bible too, that translation. Mammon is the pursuit of wealth for wealth's sake. It is foregoing everything else and gaining to gain so that we can say we have more. In other words, it's putting money before anything else, putting the gain of money before the purpose and use of it. Jesus talks about these things because he knows this is something all of us struggle with. So he tells this parable. Let's take a look at it again. Our gospel lesson, Luke chapter 16. Jesus also said to his disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager who was accused of wasting his possessions. The rich man called him in and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you can no longer be manager. The manager said to him, what will I do since my master is taking away the management position from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I will do so that when I am removed from my position as manager, people will receive me into their homes. He called each of his master's debtors to him. He asked the first, how much do you owe? He said, 600 gallons of olive oil. So he said to him, take your bill, sit down and quickly and write 300. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? And he said, 600 bushels of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 480. Now comes the confusing part. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the children of the light. This is the parable that Jesus uses to talk about what true wealth is and what its intended purpose is. You've got this manager. It's I don't know, you could maybe call it a banker. The one who manages the estate, takes care of all of the finances and gain. Their purpose is to invest. Their purpose is to put the master's money to work so that it brings in an increase, so that it's not sitting there. But he wasn't doing it. So the master calls him in, give me an account. You have to explain to me what you've been doing with my money. And he's fearful. The very fact that he's fearful goes to prove the point that he wasn't being faithful. Because if he could prove that he was being faithful and just had some difficult situations come up, he wouldn't have been afraid. What am I going to do? That's when he does the strange thing. That's when he calls in all of those other people and he says, now, cut your bill in half. Quickly, write down that you owe him less. I am still in charge of my master's wealth. I can do this. What's his purpose? What was his thinking? He's going to lose his position. He's going to lose his cushy job, probably his home, maybe his food, his shelter. He's not going to have those things anymore. How will he survive? So he's going to make friends. So that now, after his master removes him from his position, he can go from house to house and say, listen, didn't I do you a solid? Didn't I help you out? You need to do the same for me now. He's building up friends so that when the wealth is taken away, he still has a way of living. But let's be honest. He was stealing from his master. Right? He cut the bill of olive oil in half. He goes from 600 bushels a wheat to 480 bushels of wheat. If you were the master, wouldn't you be furious? How dare you do that with my money? How dare you do that with what I had? But then the master commends him. Think about it this way. If the manager of that money had been doing nothing with his master's money before, this might be the first time he did something with it. He was acting shrewdly. He was using the wealth that he had in his possession, excuse me, even if it wasn't his, to be able to set himself up for the future. He wasn't looking at tomorrow. He was looking at the next year. He was trying to figure out where he would be and how he would survive. And he was using the wealth at his disposal to do it. That's why he gets commended. For the first time, he actually was using the wealth with the future in mind. Why does Jesus tell this parable? I'm going to be honest. That whole situation, it makes every single one of us kind of scratch our heads, right? That seems weird. Why would this be promoted? Why would Jesus tell this parable and make us think that this is a good idea to be dishonest? I mean, it's right there in the name, the dishonest manager. We have to understand Jesus' point in all of it. Because he's not talking just about using another person's money. He's talking about all of the blessings that God gives to each and every one of us. He's talking about how money management matters. What is the purpose of the wealth that God gives to each and every one of us? What's the purpose of the blessings that he pours out for us? Do we sit on them? Do we know nothing with it? I'll be honest. That's a real temptation for many of us. We have a great abundance of blessings and gifts that God has given in our abilities, in our talents, maybe in time that we have available. Are we doing something with them? Are we using our gifts and our abilities to the fullest in the service of our Savior? Or do we say, you know, that sounds like a lot of work. I think I'll just sit here and mind my own business, and that's not important. It'll be fine. That's not being faithful with that which God has given. That was the problem the manager had. He wasn't using that which was at his disposal. What are we supposed to be using it for? There's always the temptation that really is at the root of this whole problem. It's the reason why the Bible talks about this 2,300 times. Because we have to use that wealth, that blessing that God has given for the purpose He gives it. And so quickly and so easily we can get distracted by all of it. My own selfishness can kick in. The first thing that comes to my mind when I find a little extra money and income lying around that you didn't realize that you had is, I wonder what I can buy for myself. Now, I've always wanted this, but I've never been able to get it. Maybe that's what I need to use on it. It's not, I wonder if putting this aside for that inevitable car failure is a good idea. Because when we look at wealth, we look at using it for our enjoyment. We look at using it so that we can further our own ambition. I mean, that is what Satan wants, and that's what he drives us to do. But how are we supposed to manage the blessings God gives? It's not an easy thing to decide on. It's not an easy thing to wrestle with. And yet, the Lord gives us His idea. Because Jesus, when He explains this parable, says, I tell you, make friends for yourselves with unrighteous mammon, so that when it runs out, they will welcome you into the eternal dwellings. The person who is faithful with very little is also faithful with much. And the person who is unrighteous with very little is also unrighteous with much. So if you have not been faithful with unrighteous mammon, who will entrust you with what is really valuable? If you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you something to be your own? No servant can serve two masters. Indeed, either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. That last phrase is really the central point of all of it. It's what brings it all together. How do we use and manage the money that God has given and the wealth that He has bestowed and blessed us with? You can't serve them both. Is it so that we gain more? I mean, that's mammon. That's never the intent and purpose that God gives to us. What good is it going to serve us? What is so much blessings and wealth that we have no idea how to use it? What good is that going to serve us personally? We already have everything we need for life. Do we have some kind of a strange sensation that as a measure of my faithfulness, God will see all of the wealth that I have and say, well, how can I not open the doors to heaven to you? Or somehow that by gold and silver we figure we can buy our way into heaven? I think a lot of people get into their mindset that we can somehow throw enough money at any problem and it will be fixed. No amount of wealth fixes our problem with sin. We have such an amazing debt of sin that we will never be out from under it. The only thing that could pay it is the blood of Jesus shed for you. And it has been. To erase the debt of sin. To put you on a free level with God where He can say, you owe me nothing. Because Jesus has paid your debts. What a wonderful blessing that is. And that's all we need for life and eternity. So what are we going to use the gifts and the blessing that God has given us for? He always has a purpose in it. And you know, we just talked about the purpose. Our blessings of finances, of wealth, of money, it's always so that we can serve Him. So that we can use the blessings that He has given that many more people may know. Jesus died for you. Your sins are washed away. Your debt has been paid. And now heaven is your home too. Because that's where real wealth is. It's not here on this earth. I don't care how much money you may have or not have. Your true wealth is found in the fact that Jesus is your Savior and you get to live eternally in heaven. That is wealth beyond measure. When we remember that and use the blessings God has given for that purpose, that we may serve Him, that's looking to the future. That's saying, I know what my God has given, so let me now serve Him and let me now proclaim the forgiveness that He has won to the rest of the world, so they too may truly become rich. I want you to think about it and evaluate this. How true is this statement? Sometimes the pursuit of wealth leads you to be poor. That's really kind of the crux of what Jesus is getting at, isn't it? The pursuit of wealth for the purpose of wealth causes us to be focused here on earth, causes us to be focused within ourselves. And if we can't see heaven, if we can't see our future and where it will be, either heaven or hell, there's only two options. If we can't see that because we're so focused on ourselves and our earthly life, then we lose the real wealth that God has given. Money management matters. The Lord talks about it more than once for a purpose. He doesn't want us to get so wrapped up and focused on what we have here on this life that we lose out on our future and lose sight of the promise that He has given in heaven's glory. All paid for through the blood of Christ. But He is still going to bless you. Manage it the way He intends. Use your talents, your abilities, your time, your wealth. Use it to serve Him and His purpose so that the world may sing the praises of the One who poured out His blood for you. Amen.